Welcome to Soul Sciences. I'm your host, Charlene. Many of these podcasts explore writers, especially memoir writers, as they examine the journey of their lives. From time to time, you will discover a totally unique podcast on subjects ranging from muons to those lights that flash when you press your eyelids and anything in between. I hope you enjoy today's program on Soul Sciences. Hello, listeners. This afternoon we have Sia Sunrise Person. Sia has written an extraordinary memoir called North of Normal, and it is a memoir of my wilderness childhood, my counterculture family, and how I survived both. Sia, welcome to the show, and we were just saying, what a great thrill. It is a national bestseller, this book.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
And you must be thrilled that you have written a bestseller.
Yeah, well, I've actually written two. My follow-up book is called Nearly Normal, and I was lucky enough that they both were on the bestseller list in Canada. So yeah, it's been quite an amazing ride, lots of unexpected turns, but almost completely a positive journey. So I've been very blessed.
That is a wonderful statement about a generally inspired life coming out of totally unusual circumstances. Yes. Please describe to our listeners what I'm referring to.
Sure. The Person family is from California, Northern California. And when my mother was pregnant with me at the age of 16, my grandfather, who was a total wilderness guru and just dreamed of escaping society, decided to move his family to Canada. And so we actually moved over the border into British Columbia 2 weeks before I was born in 1969. When I was 18 months old, my grandfather decided that it was time to make his move. So we all drove up to a place near Jasper called the Kootenai Plains. And we basically piled all of our possessions into a couple canoes. And we canoed down a river and looked for a place to pitch our teepee. And luckily, my grandfather had heard of a band of First Nations people who were living in the area. So we were able to camp quite close to them, and they taught us a lot about wilderness living for those first 4 years. We were in our first teepee camp for 4 years. And it was pretty crazy. I mean, you know, my grandfather was a very experienced outdoorsman, but it was he, my grandmother, myself, I was just a toddler, my mother and my mother's two sisters, who were all teenagers. And there were storms. Our teepee was ripped apart. We were hunting and gathering all of our own food. So we would run short on food sometimes. I almost drowned in the river. Things just kind of, you know, went on and on. But things were generally, it was a happy life generally. But I always had this very deep craving for something different, for something more normal. And I remember even being 4 years old, kind of looking around at this situation that I was living in and thinking, I don't think the whole world lives like this. Wow. I think this is kind of weird. And I don't know how I could have known that, but I did. I was the only child. So anyway, when I was five, my mother, who was single because my father was not in the picture, met a new man and we hit the road with him. And our life quickly turned into a life of crime and drugs and rock and roll. And it was crazy. We were basically living on the road, living camping and living under canvas when we could, and sleeping in the truck and stealing and growing pot. And yeah, at that point, I went to school for the first time. I went to kindergarten for just a few months. But that was when I really, really realized that, wow, like my life is not like the other kids. And it was at that point that I really made a vow to myself that I would somehow create another life for myself. And so I did so, skipping forward a little bit to the age of 13. By that time, I'd moved to Calgary with my mother, and I decided that my escape was going to be modeling. So I walked into a modeling agency and entered a contest. And by the time I was 14, I was in New York by myself. And by the time I was 15, I was in Paris. And so that's kind of the gist of the story.
That's quite a very, very meaty gist. There's a tremendous amount of stuff going on here. Mm-hmm. I do want to get to the extraordinary power of a 14-year-old doing what you did and then a 15-year-old going both to New York and Paris on your own. Mm-hmm. But before we get there, there's a particular part of your book that I would like you to unfold a bit for our listeners. And that is when you and your mom, and one of the things that wrenches my heart is how much your book describes a child, a girl's love for her mother. You wanted her attention.
Absolutely. She was the one constant in my life because my life was so unbelievably unstable. So, the thing about my mother, and, you know, it's funny because people will read my story and they're like, your mom, you know, how could she have dragged you through these situations and done this to you? And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, I understand, you know, she was selfish, but, you know, she was very, very young. I mean, she had me when she was 16 and she was out there in her early 20s with this child and trying to, you know, make a life with no money, no education. And so she came to rely on men for that, for our survival. And I don't blame her for that. I understand it. And, you know, the thing about my mom is she always loved me. There was no question about that. Sometimes, you know, especially as I got older, a teenager, I would think she had really strange ways of showing me that she loved me because she would, you know, abandon me for short periods or put her boyfriends above me. But overall, you know, those formative years in my childhood, I always felt loved for her by her. And I loved her very much because she was, you know, my whole world, the only thing I could really depend on it at the time. Our relationship got extremely difficult in my adult years as I started to process everything that had happened to me. And then she passed away quite early, quite young. But I do feel like we had some sort of, you know, we had the best closure that we could have considering our difficult relationship by the time she died. Something like that, you can only hope for the best. Not going to be this Hollywood picture of perfect forgiveness at the end ever when you've been through that much and your relationship is that layered and complex, you know. And I still miss her. I miss her a lot. And I wish she could have met her grandchildren. She only met my oldest. She died when he was 2. So it's mostly that I regret, because I saw, it was so funny when she was an amazing grandmother to my son. And I found that just so amazing. And it really renewed our relationship and gave me new faith in her. And so I wish that could have lasted longer.
Yes, it's very touching and very mm-hmm. tender and very true that we are different people as parents than we are as grandparents.
Absolutely.
For sure. I think that also your mother, in a sense, lived in the wilderness of the city. She was as much of a pioneer to some degree. I remember those years. I'm that much older than you that I remember clearly the sociological pressures of the late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah.
And how exploded the culture was. And there was your mother with a very, very young human being with a father who just wants to go back to the woods and be the guru of the woods. And she has no actual way to learn how to manipulate or work in the culture, get money together, provide for you. There's nothing in her psyche that prepares her. She's very much a wilderness girl. And what I admired about her was that I think there was only one mention in the book or a few tiny times when emotionally she had to sort of just push you away a little bit. Most of the time, you were not hit, you were not abused, you were loved, you were held, you were given all of the things that were really important.
For sure. I mean, you know, my family damaged me in many ways, but they also gave me a lot of strength in other ways, in that, you know, I became very determined. I understood what love was. I never felt like I was a victim or felt like I was, and I think that's extremely important. You know, to me, that's one of the defining traits of people that I look for, is people who, you know, no matter what they've been through, they don't look at themselves as victims. I think that's very important. And I got that from my mother, because she, you know, she never had an easy life, but she never victimized herself. And I really admired that about her.
A trait that is worthy, totally worthy of admiration.
Yeah, so, for sure.
So easy to see oneself as a victim when in fact circumstances are very difficult sometimes in almost everyone's life. So you go through that and work with it. But Sia, would you please talk about one of my most powerful visuals and takeaways from your book is the time that you and your mother went camping on your own. Now, I know that you were rather running away from the man you call Carl in the book, but would you describe again what your experience was in that? There was so much a counterpoint and emotional going one direction, going the other, so much paradox.
Yeah. So we were living at the time we were living in a canvas wall tent in Alberta with another family who were in a teepee close by. And Carl was my mother's boyfriend, and they had a very intense relationship. They used to fight a lot. And at one point, my mother just got really fed up and had had enough of Carl. And so she said, we're going to get out of here. But we had, you know, no car, no money, no nothing. So really, the only place we could go was deeper into the wilderness. So we packed up our stuff, and she had this vague idea of where we were going. We basically had, you know, a backpack each, and she had a tent, and she had a 22 rifle. And we just walked, you know, until we found a place that she thought was suitable beside a creek. And we lived there for, I don't know exactly how long it was, but say maybe 6 weeks, something like that. And it was very, you know, it was fall, so it was becoming cold. We were just in basically a pup tent. We were gathering our food. We were eating berries, and, you know, she had brought a few supplies like flour and, you know, some real basics, but that was running out. And, you know, her gun wasn't strong enough to take down big game. And so we knew that we would, you know, eventually we'd have to go back. But so it was a scary time, but I remember it being a great time for me in some ways, because it was the first time I had ever had my mother all to myself. Mm. You know, I think how old was I? 5 or 6 at the time. And, you know, for me, that was just like amazing to just have all of her attention focused on me. And I remember wishing that we could just stay there forever.
Isn't that extraordinary?
Mm-hmm.
What is your relationship to the out of doors now?
I don't have much of one, to tell you the truth. Yeah, I don't know if it's because I'm just a city girl who happened to be born in the wilderness, or if I just kind of had enough because I grew up like that. But I'm not. You will not catch me camping, or you know, I'll go for the occasional hike because I think it's important to expose my own children to nature. I do value it. I just don't find a personal need for it myself.
Isn't that interesting? Now, Sia, how did you manage to create such an inspired life for yourself? And in particular, I know we've touched on it, but how did your early years contribute to this? 15 in New York and Paris. Can you help us understand that a little more?
Well, all I can say is that, you know, I think that we are all born who we are. If I look at my 3 kids and how different they are and how much the same they are from the time they were, you know, toddlers, their personalities, their character traits have not changed. And I believe that I was born who I was. And I happened to be born this very, very driven, determined person. And my dream was to just have a different life. And so I was willing to do whatever it took to create that life for myself. So I did a lot of things and took a lot of risks that many people wouldn't dream of. And I happened to have a mother, a family who had no problem with me going off on my own when I was 14 and 15. And so that all just came together to create this situation where I was able to just kind of do whatever I wanted to. And luckily, what I wanted to do was not go out and party and get into trouble, but to, you know, work on building this life for myself. And so modeling was basically my door into that. It was my means to an end to make money. My hardships did not stop, you know, when I started modeling. It was really just the beginning. And if you read my second book, you'll get a lot more of what happened in my adult years. But as the fallout started to happen, as an adult, my life just completely fell apart, not just once, but a couple of times. It was up to me to completely redefine my career, my life, my identity. You know, I've been divorced twice. I'm on my third husband. Luckily, you know, he's great. But I've had to be very, very determined to create this existence that I now have, which is as close to normal as I could imagine, and certainly not perfect, but, you know, I have everything that I've ever wanted, that's for sure. And it's because I've just been extremely determined and refused to give up.
That's brilliant. That is brilliant. Now, Sia, we have to bring the program to a close. Do you have anything you'd like to say to our listeners besides the wonderful expression that, you know, willpower and just being determined really helps? Is there something else you'd like to share?
You know, that's probably my main message. But also, if you've lived through, you know, a traumatic childhood, don't let it define you. Don't let it victimize you. Use it to give yourself strength and determination to change your circumstances, and know that people who come from those situations have a strength that other people who have not don't. And so use it to your advantage.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Will you come back and speak with us again sometime, maybe about your second book?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Sia.
Thank you.
That's it. That's all for today's program. Many thanks to Kevin MacLeod for this lovely music called Carefree. For more of my works, including excerpts from my books, go to www.soulsciences.net. And remember, take good care of each other. Bye for now.